This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Michelle Aloy, in for Madeline Brand. New York Times critic A.O. Scott might be giving up film reviewing, but as the old saying goes, the criticism must go on, or something like that. We have two critics to tell us about this week's new releases. Katie Walsh reviews films for the Tribune News Service, the Los Angeles Times, and The Wrap. And Tim Grierson is senior U.S. critic for Screen International and the author of This Is How You Make a Movie. Hi, you guys.
Hello.
Hey, Michelle.
All right, so let's get going. First up, Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. This is based on the role-playing game that you're either really into or have never played. It stars Chris Pine, Michelle Rodriguez, and Hugh Grant.
We're facing the greatest evil the world has ever known. We're gonna need a team.
Pull this off. Figure it out over a drink.
Probably best.
Okay, well, listening to that, I can't tell if I'm listening to Dungeons and Dragons or a Transformers trailer. But this is directed by John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein. Tim, give us a little summary of the plot here.
Okay, so Chris Pine, basically, he lost his wife and is raising their young daughter. And he has been imprisoned for 2 years with his sort of loyal associate, Holga, played by Michelle Rodriguez. They break out of prison and they go to find his daughter, who's now being raised by a friend of his, played by Hugh Grant, who plays this character named Forge. He turns out to be a bad guy, a villain who has basically turned Chris Pine's daughter against him, telling her that he was not trying to help her or rescue her. He was just trying to get treasure for himself. So Chris Pine wants to prove that he's actually a good father by going out and finding this sort of magic tablet that will bring his wife back to life. And so he and Michelle Rodriguez and some other characters go on this quest. Now, I am someone who has played Dungeons and Dragons a total of one time. And so I come from kind of a background of sort of generally understanding how Dungeons and Dragons works, but not being a super fan. And I would say that I was a big fan of Game Night. And I really sort of enjoyed the mixture of kind of action and comedy and thriller in that movie. In Dungeons and Dragons, you sort of allude to the fact that that clip sounds a little bit like Transformers. My one reservation about Dungeons and Dragons, though I do think it's fun, and I think it's a fun cast, is I think that Goldstein and Daly have a tougher time merging the big action set pieces, the really big action set pieces, with more of the comedy elements in this movie. There's too much of a sense of wanting to make a blockbuster as opposed to making more of a kind of a lighthearted action comedy. So for me, I don't think it entirely works as stuff I do enjoy, but to me, I'm always going to love Game Night more, I think.
All right, Katie, what did you think? Are they able to marry the kind of like big blockbuster action film with the kind of, I don't know, again, I've played the game once, but it is still a game. It's a sort of incremental progression. Like how do those two come together in this film? And what did you think?
The plot is basically Ocean's 11. He has to get a team to break into a vault and get something out of the vault. And so for someone like me, who's a total newbie to Dungeons and Dragons, like I can understand that he has a emotional, you know, motivation for this, for stealing this thing. And I understand this familiar trope. But then there's like all of this lore that is also totally densely packed around it. So I felt like I could kind of just skate over that lore and not really get too deep in the weeds on it. But for someone who's a huge fan of the game, they're going to love all these little Easter eggs and like references and things. And I'm just like, I don't know what a paladin is. I don't know what that is either. I'm just sort of enjoying the fact that Chris Pine is being, you know, a charm bomb and Hugh Grant is literally just playing himself and being foppish and fumbly and grinning from ear to ear. And Michelle Rodriguez is being very tough warrior, as she always is. So it's like they kind of geniusly made it accessible to people who have no idea what this game is.
Dungeons & Dragons is already open in theaters here in LA. A wider release nationwide starts Friday. Next, we have Rye Lane. This is a comedy about dating and breakups set in London. It stars David Johnson and Vivian Opara and is directed by Rainn Alan Miller.
So what happened?
She cheated on me with my best friend.
You cheated on Tom? With him?
Oh, that hurts a little bit.
I mean, I get it. The arms are nice, but what did she even talk about?
Are you just going to sit there and say that to me?
Well, she said my arms are nice.
All right, familiar setup here. Two singles, people moving on from bad breakups. Who knows, maybe more. Walk us down Rye Lane, Katie.
Oh, Rye Lane is so fun. It's a super charming British rom-com set in South London. It is in the model of, you know, a before sunrise, a before sunset, where two people encounter each other and then spend a day walking around and getting to know each other. David Johnson and Vivian Opara are super charming. He's kind of a nerd. She's very bold and confident, and he needs to go have like a dinner with his ex-girlfriend who's dating his new friend, and she needs to go get her Tribe Called Quest vinyl back from her ex-boyfriend. So they kind of help each other on these missions. I think this is just like a really fun shot in the arm for the rom-com. It is short and sweet and just vibrant and delightful. I can't say enough good things about Rye Lane.
Tim, what did you think? I mean, watching the trailer, I was struck by the kind of the wide camera angles that are featured, and it looks just also very bright and vibrant, and there's all these neon colors, I guess not usually colors I associate with London.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with Katie, first of all. This is my favorite movie that we're reviewing this week. I think it's really, really fun and really good. And you're right, Michelle, that this is the feature debut of Rainn Alan Miller as a filmmaker. And she does this thing in terms of kind of bringing London alive in a way that feels very exciting, but doesn't feel very forced. One of the things I really appreciate about Rye Lane as a movie is that while it is a rom-com and it's definitely in that tradition, it really takes its time in terms of having these two characters kind of fall in love. It actually takes a long time because really they're just kind of getting to know each other. And that is something I think that so many kind of rom-coms gloss over so quickly to get to the meet cute and the romance and the will they or won't they. And this movie really takes the time for us to understand both of these people, for them to understand each other, to learn things and be surprised by each other as the film goes along. And it's one of two movies that we're going to talk about today that have a really terrific karaoke scene. The karaoke scene in this movie is very, very nicely done and actually tells us something about both of the characters. This is really charming. It's going to be playing on Hulu. I can't imagine anybody who's looking for something kind of light and fun and smart to miss this.
All right. Rye Lane is streaming on Hulu starting tomorrow. Next, we have 1001, another film that screened at Sundance, where it won the Grand Jury Prize. It stars Tiana Taylor as a mother struggling to raise her son, who she kidnapped out of the foster care system. Hear the clip.
You should try and be quiet, right? Quiet like when you went missing for weeks and I sat here and said nothing. And never mind who you was with.
See,
if I get any more quieter, I won't even have a f***ing voice at all.
No, I'm not about to sit here and argue with you.
That's real easy for you to say, because you get to be the saint, right? You get to be the saint while I'm stuck here fighting these wars all by myself.
What the f***?
Show up for me.
All right. Tiana Taylor has been getting a lot of really positive reviews for her performance. Katie, what did you think of her in this movie?
Oh, she's incredible. Tiana Taylor is an actress, a singer. She's kind of known for being more in the music industry. And so I think this film is a showcase for her. This film takes place from 1994 to 2005-ish. And it is putting their story against the gentrification of Harlem and the social changes in New York City. She's been in prison. Her partner has been in prison. So they're also affected by that as well. I loved this film. I thought it was really well made, a really complex story, but also simple at the same time. And it's really anchored by Tiana Taylor, but also by the three young actors who play her son, Terry. I think there's a 6-year-old, a sort of 12-year-old, and then a 17-year-old. The last actor, Josiah Cross, who plays the teenage Terry, is also just like incredibly fantastic. And I think it's just like a really nuanced and complex, you know, family melodrama. But it's utterly absorbing and really, really just like a fascinating film.
Tim, what did you think? I mean, I'm getting sort of echoes of Moonlight or Boyhood here.
Yeah, I mean, those are definitely comparisons. Probably more Moonlight because, as Katie alluded to, it's three different actors playing the same young man as he gets older over time. One of the differences between Moonlight, though, and 1001 is that A.V. Rockwell, the writer-director, this is her feature directorial debut as well. She is just as concerned with the child and the mother. And so it's really a story about both of these characters. She went through the foster care system. Her son went through the foster care system. She's recently out of prison. Will Catlett, who plays her on and off boyfriend, Lucky, was also somebody who was incarcerated. And the movie does this really excellent job of showing how, whether it's the foster care system or the prison system in this country, that even if you are out of those systems, you still feel this stigma of being part of them. This movie does a very good job of really showing what poverty feels like, not just in terms of not having certain sort of like material goods, but how it emotionally affects these characters. There are a couple plot things that happen near the end that feel a little bit more forced, but that's just a mild sort of reservation on my part. I think this movie is really good.
All right. 1001 is in theaters now in LA and across the nation tomorrow. Last, we have The Five Devils, about a girl with a unique magical power. She can recognize and reproduce any smell. With a premise like that, it has to be French. And it stars Adèle Exarchopoulos as her mother and Sally Dromé as the girl.
Tu sens quoi?
Pas grand chose.
Ça sent noisy, et ça sent aussi le champignon.
All right, so in that clip, the girl is describing in detail the scent of something she finds in the woods. So, Katie, is this film worth savoring or skipping?
Oh, I loved this movie. And it's really interesting thinking about some of the parallels because of the films we're talking about this week. You know, going from 1001 to The Five Devils, again, we have the story of a young mother and a young child and their complicated relationship. I also love that Tim brought up that there are like multiple like climactic karaoke scenes in the movies that we are talking about. And this is one of the films that has like a very emotional, powerful karaoke scene. I was described this film as like, it's a witchy, you know, French movie starring Adèle Exarchopoulos. And like, I was like, okay, sold. I'm already there. And I would say it has supernatural elements and witchy elements, especially with the young daughter, Sally Dromé, who is very sort of motivated by scent as memory and as a way of accessing sort of other planes of understanding and being. I just think Adèle Exarchopoulos is so good. She's like, again, like very a physical actor. She plays a former gymnast who now swims in these like alpine lakes for fun with her young daughter. And it takes place in Rhône Alpes, which is a part of a mountainous sort of ski resort region of France. So the setting's really interesting. Yeah, I just found this film like really enchanting. I think it's beautifully shot and edited, and I loved the music as well. So very interesting, cool French movie.
All right, Tim, from the trailer, there seems to be a lot going on besides the kind of like magical realism here. Does it all end up holding together?
I would say for the most part, it does. And I think Katie's assessment is right. I mean, this movie is all vibes, I would say. There's a lot of vibes, and it is a movie about kind of creating a spell. And the spell is in some ways a little bit of a feint, I would say, because it does establish early on that the young girl, Vicky, can conjure up the past through smells. And through the smells of these different characters as she's around, she will discover things about her family from before she was born and the secrets that her mother and father and the father's sister have been hiding from her. And so in some ways, the movie is sort of a like a mystery or almost a thriller in that way. But at the same time, The Five Devils is also about small town communities and about sort of the racism and homophobia in those types of communities that also forms kind of the backdrop of what's going on. There is a lot going on. This movie has kind of a lot on its mind. It's both thematically kind of dense, but also in terms of its conceit and the sort of supernatural elements. The filmmaker, Leah Mises, this is her second feature, and she's biting off a lot. I think for the most part, the movie does work in some ways. Once I think you realize, oh, the supernatural element is really just about these flashbacks, it's maybe a little bit disappointing because it's really just about figuring out what the mystery is. But at the same time, I have to say, like, there's something so kind of wonderful about a film that is this willfully sort of weird and kind of does its own thing.
All right. The Five Devils is at the Alamo Drafthouse downtown now and in select cities. That does it for us this week. We're done. Katie Walsh reviews films for the Tribune News Service, the Los Angeles Times, and The Wrap. And Tim Grierson is senior U.S. critic for Screen International and the author of This Is How You Make a Movie. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That does it for this week on Press Play. Our producers are Angie Perrin, Bennett Purser, Marcel Hutchins, Andrea Bautista, and Nihar Patel. Brian Hardzinski was our line editor this week. Amy Ta is our digital editor. Sarah Sweeney is our managing producer. And our technical director is Mario Saavedra. Don't forget, you can subscribe to Press Play podcast and listen wherever you like. Tune in at noon tomorrow and noon and 7 for KZRW's Left, Right, and Center. There's an expensive election in Wisconsin next week for a seat on the state Supreme Court. Host David Green and the panel take on whether voting for judges is even a good idea in the first place. That's Left, Right, and Center tomorrow at noon and 7 here on KCRW. And thank you for listening today. And thank you so much to everyone who supported KCRW in our spring pledge drive. From all of us at KCRW, on-air hosts and DJs, producers, reporters, membership staff, and everyone behind the scenes, thank you. I'm Michelle Aloy. It has been a pleasure to be with you this week on Press Play. KQED's Marisa Lagos takes over the host chair next week.